From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Oxford Exxon Podcast, Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studios. We do every Friday during the college football season. We're going to talk to Ryan Brown today. He is the host of WJOX, The Roundtable, out of Birmingham. He is a college football encyclopedia. Also knows a good bit about Alabama and Auburn, so we'll probably talk a little basketball today. Some different things going on, as that remains the story in the sports world with the FBI sting probe scandal currently going on in college basketball. So that's on tap today. We'll hit some other things, probably one of those typical Friday podcasts that I have no idea what we're going to talk about or where it's going to go, but it'll be all right. Up on the site also, Drussel's recruiting podcast. He spoke to Jalen Reed of Olive Branch on the soft verbal presented by Billy's Pecans. So check that out. Have some Alabama Ole Miss content to you later as well. And if you missed it yesterday, Mike DeTilia on the Beer Garden, another Beer Garden coming with John Hamm, the NBA expert. So a lot of stuff up on the site at rebelgrove.com, and it's Free Gas Friday with the Oxford Exxon. Even when the Rebels are on the road or it's an off week, they're still going to give free gas to one individual that tweets at them or is a follower, probably just a follower. But if you tweet at them, you have a better shot at Oxford Exxon. They'll pick a winner later and get a free tank of gas. Also, remember, when you use that plenty card, P-L-E-N-T-I, you get automatically entered at any critical location in Mississippi for the LSU Ole Miss giveaway, where they are going to give away four tickets, VIP passes, apparel, and more through Craddock Oil. So check that out with the Oxford Exxon in the Craddock Oil location. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. I'll go ahead and warn people now. I haven't had a single drop of coffee. I got to go do a physical thing, and I can't eat or drink. And so forgive
me. I thought black coffee was okay.
I did too. And they told me you can't even have that.
Really?
They actually told me you couldn't have water. But I have had a sip of water. Sue me. Anyway, my voice sounds funny. If my tongue sounds thick, now you know why. Clark Ford Studio, 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. And Corey and the people at Clark Ford there in Amory will put together a wonderful quote for you. It'll be the best quote, as the president would say. And you can take that quote and you can chop it around, or you can take that quote and let the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's nice and simple. And then make it even better, $500 off. All you have to do is tell Corey you heard about the podcast, you heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention any of our podcast, $500 off. The bottom line, Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
We're taping this before we go to Ryan in a second. What's of interest to you that we haven't already kind of heard from Jay? I mean, as far as a basketball thing, what's kind of next in your mind? What are you thinking about?
Well, I've talked to some people who think this thing is going to get ugly.
Not over yet. Maybe not getting started yet.
Maybe really just getting started. The FBI has not played their whole hand. The FBI has a big hand of cards, and they've just played a couple. There are people who think in the end coaches, head coaches, will go to jail over this. It's difficult for me to imagine that up front. I've had people, and you've heard people do this around the country. They expect a lot of resignations and retirements between now and the start of the season. A lot of players ineligible. I don't know where this thing's going. My inclination is always to go, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. When I talk to people who are in the know, they scoff at that. So we'll see.
They scoff at it in what way, though?
They say that a lot's going to happen and a lot's going to change and people are going to jail. Coaches are getting fired. Programs are going to be upended. One person compared it to a hurricane. Like a big Category 5 hurricane comes out of the Gulf, right? Or the Atlantic, the Pacific, wherever.
Okay.
And it leaves this wake of destruction in its path.
Okay.
But a hurricane, from a scientific standpoint, a climatologist would tell you that a hurricane also kind of cleans the ocean floor. I'm just a sports writer. Beats the hell out of me. But that it comes through and it's so powerful, you know, that it's a vacuum.
Yeah, I get it. Sort of.
Leaves destruction, cleans. That this is college basketball's hurricane. And it's a Category 5.
How long are we talking about this?
Whew.
Months?
Well, it's an FBI investigation. So you're going to have federal trials and plea bargains and, I mean, months minimum, right?
I mean, it's my assumption. I'm just asking.
That's how it works. I mean, I would think. I've heard several programs in the crosshairs.
Have you?
Yes.
You going to keep that quiet, I'm assuming, for now?
Well, let me see if I can find it because I want to cite it. Well, here's one. This is from... Now, I don't know how reliable this is. Chatsports.com. You ever heard of Chatsports?
No, but sure, whatever.
By Brian Rauf, R-A-U-F. He says, sources. Adidas was trying to steer nation's number one basketball recruit to Kansas. An Adidas rep that is facing fraud and corruption charges from the FBI for steering a top 2017 recruit to Louisville was also trying to influence a 2018 super recruit to commit to Kansas, multiple sources told Chat Sports exclusively Thursday afternoon. The sources have been independently sourced, one inside the Big 12 with coaching ties to the SEC, and another recruiting expert close to South Carolina AAU basketball, and provided nearly identical information. This is not shocking that Adidas... Jim Gatto, who was arrested by the FBI, try to steer players.
Okay.
How do you think Malik Newman ended up at Kansas? Do you think it's because Bill Self came down and recruited him? Started at an Adidas school. He didn't work out.
I think Callaway might even be Adidas.
Transferred to an Adidas school.
Just a thought.
I got a lot of thoughts.
Yeah. We'll continue to give some of those on the podcast as we move forward. We're going to go to Ryan in a second. Before we do that, I'll tell you that the podcast is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage. Look at an Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga, 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You can local underwriting that understands your market, leader in condo financing in Oxford. Discuss about the float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Vitamend, 3010 Old Taylor Road, in front of the Faulkner Flats Apartments next to LaPel's Dry Cleaning. It's still the same IVs and shots as before, but they've added cryosauna. They've added the infrared sauna. They have combo packages, detox the infrareds, get fluids after. It's a great way to wash away a wild weekend. You can get the overserve treatment. Use the cryosauna to help with inflammation that's causing the headaches. Smoothie bar, all natural foods, no added sugar. Same numbers before, 662-638-3600. Now open Tuesday through Sunday. IVs and shots Friday through Sunday. Call ahead. Make sure they have someone staffed. It's info@vitamend.com is the email. Podcast also sponsored by State Farm agent Romero Miller. Romero can write insurance throughout the states of Mississippi and Tennessee. Contact Romero at RomeroMiller.com, on Facebook at Romero Miller State Farm, or by email at Romero@RomeroMiller.com. Romero Miller State Farm, located at 7164 Hacks Cross Road, Suite 119 in Olive Branch. The phone number? 662-893-1212.
Now we'll go to Ryan Brown on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline.
All right, Ryan, appreciate you being with us again on a Friday. Listen, before we turn to football, this time next week, I don't know that you and I will be on speaking terms. We'll be kind of locked in battle. The Nationals, the Cubs, going to face off in a first round in a divisional series. It starts in Washington a week from today. I'm terrified of Max Scherzer and everybody over there, but I like the way the Cubs are playing. I would think as a Nationals fan, you're feeling pretty good, but it's postseason and the Nationals don't always do so well.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me of that. They never won a postseason series. I would feel a lot better if I knew what Bryce Harper was going to be. He has come back from his injury, played two games, rested Thursday, but sore. I just don't know what kind of bat he's going to bring with him. And, you know, so much – I mean, he's been phenomenal in the postseason. Zimmerman has had a great year. Trey Turner is back healthy. He's had a good year. Rendon has had a great year. Daniel Murphy is what he always is. He's so consistent. So we got a lot of bats. I would just like to know how Bryce Harper is. If you told me Bryce Harper is his normal self, I would feel really, really good about this series. But I don't know that to be the answer. But I do like the pitching, absolutely. Gio Gonzalez and Max Scherzer have had phenomenal years. Strasburg's had maybe his best professional year ever. So we're three deep there. And I like what we did with our bullpen. So I'm comfortable with that. I would just like to know what Bryce Harper's going to be.
He looks really rusty right now. He missed a lot of time.
Because
I watched a little bit of him this week as it became obvious that's what was going to happen. If anyone can come back and shake the rust off, it's him. But, like, I'm watching Wilson Contreras every night with the Cubs, who was raking when he went down with his hamstring injury. And he's just not the same yet. It takes a month of seeing major league pitching to hit major league pitching, even when you're an elite hitter.
And the timing was so bad because the minor league season was over, so he couldn't get any sort of rehab starts down to the minors. He just had to actually, the Nationals flew some of their minor league pitchers in to throw to him in Atlanta when he first came back. I don't know. If you watch it, you saw the same thing I saw. He beat a lot of balls into the ground. He's swinging over the top of everything. And the one hit he got Wednesday night was a flare to left that the left fielder had him shaded so deep he couldn't get to. So he has not hit anything hardly on the nose. And that is concerning. I'm certainly concerned about that. But he's a guy that's got a flair for the dramatic. So if you told me he hit .450 in the series or three homers, I also wouldn't be shocked at that.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me either. The more you watch great major leaguers struggle to come back from injury, the more it tells you the Kyle Schwarber thing last year in the World Series was incredible and a fluke all at the same time. Thank God for it. He didn't play all season.
And then he goes seven for 17
in the World Series. It's remarkable. All right, let's turn to football.
Well, let me just say real quick before we go to football. When I saw that injury occur, everybody's assumption was he was done for the year. So the very fact that he'll be playing in the playoffs, it should just be gravy for me, because I had already, when I saw him slide across that base, I had written off the rest of the year for him. So
yeah, I talked to you that night.
I should just be thrilled that he's actually playing.
I remember talking to you that night. It looked bad. I watched the replay. Yeah. I was like, ugh. But I'm glad he's back, even though he's probably going to beat the Cubs. It's best for baseball that the best players play. I'll say that now, and then I'll cuss him when he goes 3-for-4 with two homers in game two. I'll say really bad things about him, and then next year I'll go back to my obsessive Bryce Harper free agency watch. Because that's just what I do. Ole Miss at Alabama, Nick Saban's trying really hard. I'll give him credit. He's on his game this week. When he talks about the most blatant sign of disrespect is when a team doesn't talk about you. Ole Miss is saying nothing. I don't sense any confidence over here at all. It's the line's 28. Any thought that you have that this game is competitive in the second half?
No, I don't think it is. But that was an interesting statement by Saban. You know, I've covered every year he's been here at Alabama. I've watched him closely. And I can't remember a time where he has said something similar to what he said. And keep in mind now, it was after the Wednesday practice. So that's his last media availability. And he normally comes in with a little prepared remarks and then takes questions. And it was in the prepared remarks. It was not in the question. So it's not something that caught him off guard. This was something he planned to say. That's the way Nick Saban works. He comes in with a message that he delivers in that opening statement, and people may or may not follow with questions, but he's got his message he wants to make sure he gets out. And in that opening statement, he said, I told our team the most blatant sign of disrespect is when somebody quietly thinks they have your number. I can't remember a time I've heard him say that about a team. So it was weird timing, and I guess it kind of shows you mentally where he is, at least, and where he's trying to get his team for this game, that he's trying to sell them that Ole Miss, because of their success against Alabama over the last 3 years, they think they got your number. And that's, you know, they're not, that's just a sign of disrespect. And I mean, man, I don't know if that's a tough sell on Alabama's team, but that's an interesting sales job he's trying to do there.
Yeah, he's sort of implied that they haven't had the best week of practice. He said, we've had a tough week of practice, and tough is not always a good thing.
Yeah, and that's interesting with Saban. You know, I would hesitate to try to make anything of that because I've always followed his. We had good practice, bad practice, tough practice, whatever, and I've never really been able to correlate that to actual game performance. Like, I've never, for instance, leading up to Vandy, I don't know that he ever – I mean, that may be the most complete game Alabama has played in years against Vandy. I don't remember him saying, man, this is the best week of practice I have seen us have in a long time. So I don't know that I've ever been able to correlate what his comments on how practice is going versus how the actual game results have turned out. So that was always been a mystery to me when Saban comments on how practice went.
On the field, if there's a path for Ole Miss to be competitive, what is it? You've watched Alabama a lot. They've looked weird on defense at times. They were absolutely dominant in Nashville. I mean, they just destroyed Vanderbilt. If you're putting Ole Miss's plan together, what do you at least try to do to give yourself a chance?
Well, first I'll say with Vanderbilt, I think that was there was two things that was a product of. Number one, Vanderbilt plays a style that cannot beat Alabama. LSU tries to do it. LSU's got better athletes. They can't do it. And that is, hey, we are going to line up and we're going to run the football. We're going to be patient with the run. We're going to establish the run and play our pass game off that. Well, Alabama doesn't let you do that. If you can do it on them, you can beat them. But in the time Saban has been there, there's like two or three teams that have been able to do that on him. So Vanderbilt tried that, didn't work. The second product, it was a product of this as well, is that Alabama got back healthy on defense. Rashawn Evans came back, Dylan Moses came back, and Anthony Jennings came back. All those guys had been out since the Florida State game. So it's as healthy as Alabama's going to be on defense all year. And that helped them rush Shermer and make him uncomfortable. The way you beat Alabama is you've got a quarterback that stresses the edges, stresses the defensive edges. In other words, he's not just a guy that's locked in the pocket. He can beat you running the football, so you have to be careful with the pass rush. But he is also a deadly passer. And that's what that's what I think Ole Miss fans saw with Chad Kelly. That's what he did. He was able to convert a third and long on the ground. He was able to hit Damari Stringfellow or Evan Engram or whoever it was on third and long because he was an excellent passer. So elite quarterback play is the only way you could beat Alabama. I mean, you go back and look at the games Saban has lost. Every one of them has involved a quarterback that is either an elite quarterback like a Tim Tebow or a Cam Newton, or a quarterback that was playing elite football that day. One of those that stands out is Steven Garcia. When Alabama lost in 2010 at South Carolina, Garcia had a career day. That's what it takes to beat Alabama. You got to have a quarterback that has a career day. So, you know, I don't know how much – I know Shea Patterson leads every major passing category in the Southeastern Conference. It's got to be his game. I mean, Ole Miss is, I don't think, going to be able to line up and run the football on Alabama. So it's all on Shea Patterson's shoulders. He's got to convert third downs with his feet, and he's got to convert the third and longs that Alabama gets you in with his passing. I mean, to me, that's the way you beat Alabama. You're going to face a lot of third and five and six plus. You've got to convert those and keep drives going.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was kind of caught off guard a little bit. And again, we're making too much of press conferences either way. But Matt Luke, earlier in the week, and Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator, both said we have to be – well, Matt said balanced, which for Matt, that's a little more of actual number of plays. For Longo, he said efficient, meaning when they run the ball, they've got to get something. And what raised my eyes a little bit, if this is actually reality on Saturday night, is Matt says, well, we want to get 3 yards on first down. Then we want to get 3 yards again on second down. Talk about running the ball. And I thought, even at third and four, that is creating tons of problems if you're there all day long trying to drive the field. When, I mean, look at Ole Miss's offense this season. Patterson leads the league in all these categories, but they don't drive. It's huge plays. It's A.J. Brown, 73 and 77. It's D.K. Metcalf against Cal. They're not a team that's going to plod up and down the field for 80 yards each drive.
And that's a, you know, I wish I had done this homework, and I may go back and do it after this podcast, but I would like to see in Saban's losses at Alabama since he got it going, so from 2008 on, the minimum rush yards a team has had to beat Alabama. Because my guess is you got to hit 200. Now, I don't know that's accurate. I don't know if I'm going to go back in every game that Alabama has lost, the team hit 200. Maybe it's 150. Maybe it's 170. But it's got to be something up there. You cannot be one-dimensional against the Nick Saban and Kirby Smart or Jeremy Pruitt defense. It just doesn't work. And, yeah, and I see it, man. I watch every Alabama game, and it's amazing to watch these teams that come in and they say, we know we've got to run against Alabama, and by the middle of the second quarter, they've abandoned the run because Alabama won't let them do it. And you almost would say, even if you're getting 2 or 3 yards a carry, the being still committed to it and Alabama having to respect that you might do it slows down the pass rush and helps your passing game. I mean, Jimbo Fisher, I don't know if you guys, I mean, I know you probably might not have been watching Bama Florida State, but that's back when Florida State had Francois was healthy. They did not give the ball to a running back until the 10th play of the game. So it took them 10 plays before they even tried it with a running back. They handed off the receivers to try to stretch Alabama's defense. Francois had some designed runs. So that's Jimbo Fisher, who's a pretty good offensive coach, who came into that game saying, I don't think, even with Cam Akers or whoever was going to be carrying the ball, I don't think we can run the ball traditionally against Alabama. So, I mean, I think that shows you, if Jimbo Fisher kind of comes in with that mindset, how these offensive coaches approach going against the Saban defense. But you've got to – I watch it all the time, man. When these teams give up on the run against Alabama, the game is over, because then you get to Alabama's blitz packages where they start lining quarterbacks up from the secondary. The rush ends just – they don't respect the run, so their ears bend back and gone. That is the recipe for disaster against an Alabama defense.
Yeah, that's why when people talk about – Ole Miss on Saturday, they talk about how, well, they're going to score points. And I think the problem is for Ole Miss, their model for winning a bunch of games this year is Shea Patterson being a perfect quarterback. And he's not going to be perfect. If you ask him to make 45, 50 decisions, he's going to make a couple of bad ones. It happened at Cal. If you can't balance it at all in this league, you just can't win against good teams. It doesn't work. I've watched it for 20 years.
Yeah. And you know, I watched a lot of – we talked about it before. I watched a lot of the Cal game, and they really struggled with pressures up the middle in that Cal game. And then I know there's even been a change at center. It's a local kid, right? The kid from Homewood.
Yeah, Jordan Sims.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if I'm Ole Miss, that's my concern, because – when Saban and Pruitt find a spot where you're weak and they know they can get pressure home, they attack that spot the whole game. And the one thing Saban, look, I'm not some X's and O's genius, but when you read about the strategy of the Saban defense, is he loves to get the numbers in his favor on one side of the field and then loves to force the action to that side. And if you're weak at an offensive line spot, he knows he can use that spot to force the action towards the numbers he's got set. So, you know, that to me, I mean, you can ask, well, what are the keys to beating Alabama? Well, that's one of them. You can't just let them attack those weak spots on the offensive line from the linebacker or from the secondary.
Someone said Tennessee is 0-24 in their last 24 games against top 10 teams.
Yeah, that was Peter Burns tweeted that. I saw Peter's tweet on that from the SEC Network.
Well, it's about to be 0-25 because Georgia's rolling in this weekend. And I don't know about you. Chase here thinks Tennessee wins the game. I don't know what – he's been drinking heavily, I think. I think Georgia wins and wins easily. Am I crazy?
I'm somewhere between you and Chase because I don't think – I think Chase is incorrect that Tennessee wins. I just get the feeling – and some of this is based on historical Georgia, which I might have to get away from with Kirby Smart. I don't know. But historical Georgia is they dominate Mississippi State. They struggle against Tennessee. I still think Georgia gets the win. I think Tennessee actually plays this one close. I think within the touchdown, but Georgia gets a tight win. I think it's a one-possession game, but Georgia ends up getting the win. I'm not going to go as far as Chase and pick Tennessee, but I do think they'll play it close.
Take a quick break from our interview with Ryan Brown and tell you about Sildenafil and Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com. It is the cheaper, more effective alternative to the little blue pill, $10 instead of $50 or $60. You can break it up into quarters, a half, or take the entire pill, same length of effectiveness as the other guys, and they deliver if you're not local. So log on to TysonDrugs.com or give them a call, 662-252-2321. Give them your doctor's name. They'll get the prescription ready. And again, get it to you, or you can go by and pick it up. That's Sildenafil. That's TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321.
Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join them. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They're looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or who are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Email Ben today. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. Also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans. Great lease deals. Phenomenal service after the sale. Great people. Gene and Sandy have been with us for a long time. Go in. Tell them you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast. At rebelgrove.com, you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals. At Grenada Nissan, it's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Now back to our interview with Ryan Brown on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
Ryan, real quick on our previous thing, and I'll send this to you if you'd like it. I've got an intern on staff, so I've got those numbers for you if you'd like them on Alabama.
That would be great. I appreciate that.
You're actually going to be really shocked here. The average rush yards in a win over Alabama since 2008 – is 140.
Okay. I said maybe 150. Yeah. Well, close. I thought 200. I'll admit that.
Okay. Though. Auburn is the most, 13, 296. Ohio State,
yep.
281.
That was the kick six game. Yeah, Alabama could not stop the run all night in that game.
Yeah, LSU, 225 and 10. A&M, 165 and 12. LSU, 148. But the outliers, Utah in that Sugar Bowl game only ran for 13. Ole Miss in 14 when they beat him in Oxford only ran for 76. Oklahoma 81 in the Sugar Bowl. Clemson 91 in the national championship game. Ole Miss 92 in 15. Auburn 108 in 10. South Carolina 110 in 10 as well.
Yeah. So those numbers are a little bit lower than I would have thought, to be honest with you. I would say those outlier numbers, the vast majority of those required exceptional quarterback play. I mean, if you look at those outliers that you gave me there, the quarterback lit it up that day. And so if you're going to – here's what I would say then, Chase. If you're going to rush for less than 140, like Neil said earlier, your quarterback better be perfect. I think if you rush for more than 140 against Alabama, you can get away with some imperfect quarterback play.
The average passing yards in these games I'm just mentioning is almost 400 yards. Clemson threw for 511 last year.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, and a lot of those rush yards, too, a lot of those teams, those rush yards came from the quarterback spot. Clemson, Deshaun Watson. You know, the Auburn game was Nick Marshall. And they, you know, so that's the other thing, too, is the quarterback has to be responsible for some of those rush yards. That is really important against an Alabama defense because they love to pressure the passer. And if you can find anything that slows down that pressure, and a quarterback run will do that, you've got a better shot at beating that defense.
Yes. It's amazing to me that Ole Miss is the only team in the league that's beaten them in the last 27, 28 SEC games. That's just it's a remarkable stat.
Crazy.
It is.
Alabama is, I'll give you this stat. This one will blow you away, too. Actually, it didn't go up. This is after last week. Alabama has now won, 18 straight conference games, and they've done it by an average of 23 points per game.
Wow.
I mean, that's baffling.
I mean, if you're an Alabama fan, you love it. But if you're the rest of the league, you kind of look at it and go, how did this program – normally people get better chasing a program. People have gotten worse in the SEC since with the Alabama dominance. Yeah. I'm not sure why. It might just be that Alabama gets all the good players.
Yeah. You know, they get a lot of them, there's no doubt. I will give Nick Saban credit for this. He developed and, you know, you see coaches going the opposite direction on this. He's developed a system that does not require him to be spectacular at quarterback. And, you know, he's recruited amazing running backs. He's always been really good on the offensive line, and he's been solid defensively. So that you can lose an A.J. McCarron, rotate in a Blake Sims, and you win the SEC championship. You can lose a Blake Sims after 1 year, rotate in a Jake Coker, and win a national championship. And those guys played good quarterback. I don't mean to diminish what they did at quarterback, but what I am saying is he's developed a system where you don't need a Cam Newton. You just need a Jake Coker. And because quarterback play is so difficult to predict and quarterbacks are so difficult to recruit and know that you're getting a good one, why would you not build that system versus a system where – we're going to be so quarterback dependent in our offense that if we're not just amazing at quarterback, we're going to lose football games. Saban's done it the opposite way.
Yeah, because if there's really a position where he's had bust, plural, it's quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, A.J. McCarron was a big-time recruit because he was an Alabama kid. I'll never forget people making a big deal when they got A.J. McCarron. I was like, so what? Is A.J. McCarron really going to be, you know, the next Joe Montana at Alabama? Well, he had an amazing career. But some of the bigger names, like Star Jackson was a big deal. People won't even remember that name. But that was a big deal for Alabama. The Phillip Sims kid that came in was a big deal for Alabama. Blake Sims, who won the SEC championship back in 14, they had moved him to running back at one point. I mean, they didn't even think he was going to be a quarterback. So, you're right. I mean, he's had some busts.
The Cromwell kid was a bust. The kid from Utah. The kid from Utah was a bust.
Yeah. Cooper Bateman. All those guys were highly recruited guys, and they've all left. David Cornwell, they've all left. And it just turns out it doesn't matter who he puts back there. It really doesn't. I mean, Alabama, here's another – I know we did not want this to become the Alabama Stat Podcast. Did you guys realize, you probably have as you've looked at this game, they haven't turned the ball over since the Iron Bowl last year?
Yeah. Somebody mentioned that at some point.
That's what Nick Saban wants at quarterback. That's what he wants out of Jalen Hurts. Hurts can make some dynamic plays. He's not the best passer in the world. He's getting a little better, but he's still got some flaws there. But, hey, don't go out there and put my defense in a bad spot. And you know what Jalen Hurts doesn't do? He does not turn the football over. They have not had a turnover since the Iron Bowl. That's remarkable to me.
Yeah, it's why I don't see it tomorrow, even being close. The path, and Chase and I talked about this, the path for Ole Miss to make this interesting, the path for them to pull off a shocking upset is 5-6 turnovers, and it's just not going to happen.
It's that, and it's amazing one-on-one wins by their wide receivers.
Yeah.
That's their hope. Just throw it up to A.J. Brown and hope he turns into a hero.
You know, and that's funny. That's one thing Alabama fans worry about here is, you know, this is kind of a weird dynamic here. So Nick Saban's, his expertise is secondary, right? And he's put a lot of guys in the NFL from that secondary. And Minkah Fitzpatrick might be the best defensive player in the entire country. So there's talent back there. Alabama fans get driven crazy by Alabama cornerbacks because they say they don't turn their head. They don't get their head around. So I will tell you, when Alabama faces teams that have big physical wide receivers, it scares Alabama fans to death because they feel like their corners don't get their head around the way they should. And that's what's so funny is Alabama fans love Nick Saban, yet they are probably most critical of the one position where he's considered an expert. It's kind of a weird dynamic.
I want to get to this basketball thing in a second because I do want to get your quick thoughts.
Yeah.
I know you're on a time crunch. Let's touch Mississippi State and Auburn. There's a lot of people listening to this that are interested in it. State's a 9.5-point dog after looking like dogs at Georgia Saturday. Are we being too hard on Auburn because the one game they lost was at Clemson, and it turns out Clemson is really damn good? Is Auburn maybe better than what we thought?
Well, I still think they should get criticism of their offense from that game because they only gained, I don't have it in front of me, I think it was 113 yards in that game. And I don't have a problem. Good teams can go to Clemson and lose. A lot will. But good teams don't go to Clemson and get 113 yards of offense. Now, they got sacked 11 times. Stidham still was not comfortable. And what I thought would happen has happened. Over the next couple of games, Auburn was going to look right on offense. But I thought that was because they're playing Mercer and Missouri. And Missouri is terrible on defense. Now, they turned it over 5 times against Mercer. So that, you know, that minimized what were pretty good offensive numbers because they only scored 24 points. But they look like they got a lot right against Missouri. But there's no doubt this Mississippi State defense is going to be better than Missouri's. That line you mentioned is really interesting because I don't know what you guys – if I had said after State beat LSU and Auburn slopped around against Mercer, if I had asked you for the point spread and Auburn and Mississippi State, I bet you would have probably said State probably a 7-point favorite. And in 1 week, you know, it comes out as Auburn opened as a 9.5-point favorite and it got up to 10. So, you know, obviously Las Vegas thinks Auburn is one thing that other people don't think they are. So maybe Auburn has fixed a lot. That's a fascinating game to me. I'm inclined to think Auburn actually wins this game.
Yeah, the line, there's obviously a lot of recency bias in gambling. So the line's a little moved up because of Auburn doing the thing in Missouri and then State looking so bad in this primetime game against Georgia. Also, State's on a back-to-back road games. That factors in. You know, there's statistics out there that second road game teams don't cover as well. There's a lot. I don't know. That's the one where maybe if I could go back and change my pick, I might like Auburn to cover. I picked State to cover but not win, but I actually kind of like Auburn as the week moves on.
Yeah, I kind of like your pick there. I think Auburn wins it by about a touchdown, but you not only is it back-to-back roadies for State, it's third straight top 15 team they played. So that becomes difficult in this, you know, that's a grind in the Southeastern Conference when you have to play 3 straight teams like that. So I think this stacks up pretty well for Auburn here. I would like Auburn by about a touchdown in that one.
All right, your State got rocked a little bit, part of the NCAA FBI basketball thing. I know for Auburn, I'm actually shocked that Bruce Pearl is still the head coach at Auburn as we tape this on Friday morning. Does he make it to the season opener?
It's going to be really, really tricky because of his history. And I know people look at Bruce Pearl and they remember a guy that had a 3-year show cause. If they don't remember what caused that is, he had recruits at his house for a cookout, which in and of itself is a pretty minor violation, but he lied about it. And he lied to NCAA investigators, and they caught him in the lie, and that's why they put the show calls on him. If the NCAA has shown you anything, the one thing they probably take most serious is when you lie to them in an investigation and they catch you. So Bruce Pearl is already in NCAA crosshairs. As a matter of fact, when Auburn hired him, he couldn't even recruit off campus for, I think it was like 6 months, 3 to 6 months or something.
Yeah.
Auburn hired him while he was still under the show cause. So you got to remember that, is that Auburn had to show cause to the NCAA why they were going to hire Bruce Pearl and how they were going to manage that. And even if he truly knew nothing about what Chuck Person was doing, it happened under his watch. And the NCAA has shown many times they don't care if the coach actually knew. It's the fact that you were the head coach when it happened. And if you're already in the NCAA crosshairs, I think these are tricky waters for Bruce Pearl. I don't think there's any doubt about it. He was supposed to – the story broke on a Tuesday. He was having his preseason press conference on Wednesday. That was canceled. He was supposed to, on Thursday, have a press conference here in Birmingham about a game they're playing against UAB that is like a citywide thing. That was canceled. So he's had to go in hiding, basically. The president is the only one doing the talking at Auburn, which probably in long term will be bad news for Jay Jacobs, who was already on shaky ground. He's the Auburn AD. And I think Bruce Pearl, the best way you could put it, he is in choppy waters right now. I don't know that there's any guarantee he continues at Auburn.
Alabama's mixed up in this as well. And I got to give Dan Wilkins some credit here. I don't do that often. But he has a
– Woo!
I know. He kind of makes a point that I had as well. How can you have a 24-hour basketball investigation where you don't find anything, yet you let someone go?
So Alabama, it's clear their stance on this is that, yes, Kobe Baker, who was the director of basketball operations, who ironically came to Alabama from the NCAA, where he worked in compliance, he was at the same meeting that Chuck Person was in attendance, and agreed to accept money from the agent middleman to get it to players' families in order for those players to eventually commit to that agent when they are leaving college. They would maintain, Alabama would maintain, that Kobe Baker got that money but never gave it to the players' family. And that when they sat down in the meeting, Kobe Baker admitted, that's why this was a short investigation, admitted that he was the guy that was in the report, in the FBI report, and they fired him on the spot. And that's why it was such a quick investigation. And Alabama would tell you that their investigation, or at least their discussions with the player and with Kobe Baker, that the player never took money, and that is backed up by two things. Number one, the unsealed documents from the state, the U.S. attorney, don't show that he did. And number two, he wasn't arrested along with Chuck Person. So they would maintain, had he taken the money and passed it on to the players, he would have been caught up in the arrest by the FBI, just like Chuck Person. So I think Alabama is going to maintain the money never made it to the player. Therefore, because if you look in the release, Alabama says they verified that no NCAA or SEC rules were violated. So I think that's going to be Alabama's argument in this is, yeah, we had a guy that had gone rogue and was taking money, but he never gave it to any players. So we fired the guy and we're clean. Now, the proof will be in the pudding when the season starts to see which Alabama players are dressed out and on the court. If they're holding a player out, then I think you see that Alabama knows it's not quite that cut and dry with the NCAA just yet.
I mean, Colin Sexton watches. We're completely in now, right? I mean, if he takes the court.
You got to be. I mean, and he's the most exciting recruit Alabama's had in a long time. I mean, Alabama fans are fired up about this guy. If he's on the court, it shows you Alabama has pushed their chips to the middle of the table and say, we're clean here. If he's not on the court, it shows you Alabama is still concerned that his eligibility has been compromised. I think it's abundantly clear Auburn is going to be without two major players when the season starts, and I think for the season they'll be without them. I think it remains to be seen how Alabama plays this. And that's the most fascinating thing to watch is when Alabama starts playing games, is everybody dressed out? Is everybody available for Avery Johnson?
I had someone tell me yesterday that he thinks when this is over, 25 to 30 programs are impacted in dramatic ways. Do you sense that this is that big of a story?
I do. I think it's the biggest story in the history of college athletics, honestly, because I think it will have sweeping – or it. I shouldn't say it will have sweeping changes for an entire sport. It should. I don't know that it will. But, I mean, this is going to impact the entire sport. I think they're just now getting into the Nike stuff. They just subpoenaed the Nike, you know, all the records about the Nike Youth League, basically their AAU stuff. So once they start looking over the Nike schools, how many of them are going to end up in the same boat as Louisville? I would imagine they've probably, I guess, I don't know, that they've made all the arrests they're going to make in coaches being middlemen for agents, but that may not be the case. I think the next shoe that drops is we start looking at all the apparel companies. How are they playing the game? Was Adidas the only one that was playing this game, and were they only playing it with Louisville? That's really difficult for me to believe. I mean, I know Louisville was maybe their number one revenue school, but you mean to tell me Adidas was only doing this deal for Louisville? That's
no.
The only school that they were paying players
not.
For. I mean, that's
of
impossible.
Of course not.
Yeah.
I mean, Kansas.
So, yes.
Mississippi State is landing. I mean, come on. Ben Howland goes to Mississippi State because of Adidas.
Yeah. And you mean to tell me that Nike knew this was going on and Nike said, no, sir, we are not going to do that.
No.
I mean, this is big business, man. These contracts with these schools are massive business for these companies. And whatever, obviously with Adidas, whatever it took to keep their big dogs happy, they were doing. At least that's the allegation. So I think you're going to see a lot more of this in some big name schools.
I know you've got some TV to do. We'll let you go. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, and I'll try to still be friendly, but it'll be game day and might get a little nasty.
Yeah, if it goes straight to voicemail next Friday, you'll know why.
Okay. Talk to you soon, bud. Have a good weekend.
All right, boys. You have a good weekend.
All right, later on. Thanks to Ryan for joining us today on the show and on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline, the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, Oxford, Tupelo, surrounding area there, as well as all of North Mississippi for mosquito beaters, the way to get rid of those pesky mosquitoes in your yard or at your place of business. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Services include landscape design, installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, and turf installation. They do holiday lighting for your holiday season if you so choose. So get a free quote, 662-607-7773. MasterCutsLawn.com to check them out on the internet. And remember, when you sign a contract and mention the podcast, First Cut is free.
Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state, so you know you're getting a great one when you get Robert Gambrell. Gambrell & Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South, owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton, equipped with the largest staff in the Grove that can handle most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC-only full-season packages. Look, Ole Miss is at Alabama tomorrow. They're at Auburn in 8 days. Then they come home, Vanderbilt, LSU, Arkansas, Louisiana Lafayette, and Texas A&M in November. There's still a lot of tailgating left to do. You want 7 South to hook you up. You try 7 South for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site, 7southtailgating.com. You can reach them by cell, 662-321-1682.
Kind of interesting stat here. So, the first 6,000 homer season in Major League history is this year.
Yes.
Not during the steroid era, not during any of that, this year.
Been talk all year that the ball's juiced.
Think the ball's juiced?
I don't have any idea. Players say it's juiced.
Stanton got to 59 last night.
I mean, Jake Arrieta was saying in April that the ball was juiced.
Really? So instead of the guys, it's the ball now.
I mean, he's kind of a no-nonsense dude.
The first 1,000 homer season in Major League Baseball was 1922. the other milestones, 2,000 home runs in 50, 3,000 in 62, 4,000 in 87, big gap there, and then 5,000 in 98, obviously, during the peak of the era. So 6,000 this year, just found that interesting.
Yeah, a lot of home runs. I mean,
a lot of home runs, but I didn't, and I didn't watch a ton of baseball. You did. You probably watched 300 games minimum.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it impacted the play, though, like it did back in the 90s. Does that make sense?
Yeah. A lot of it is you just have a lot of really good hitters. Like the Cubs have seven guys with 20 home runs or more.
Yeah, but it's not like the pitching's worse than it was in the
98. Right, just
evolution. Everybody's better.
Everybody's bigger, stronger, faster. The ball tops off the bat.
The strength coach today compared to 87 is kicking ass.
Look, and everybody's throwing in the 90s. So when you connect with 90.
Goes a long way. Physics.
And you're a big, strong dude. The ball hops off the bat. And the bats are better than ever before.
The kid for the Brewers, the closer, he has 39 saves this season, has not been charged with a run in any of those 39 games this season. I'm sure they're stat for the day in Major League Baseball.
Kid for who?
The Brewers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Knebel?
Corey Knebel?
Yeah, him.
He hasn't given up an earned run?
Not in his 39 saves.
No. Wow.
If he gets a save, he does not give up a run.
He's good. The one I love is that Rivero with Pittsburgh, their closer. Whew, stuff's nasty.
Anything from Ryan trying to think to hit as we kind of move on to something else to finish up the show for the day? Unless you have tremendous running backs, you have to throw the football against Alabama, period. It takes an elite quarterback effort unless you are just stacked at the running back position. Every run – if you can't run effectively, any run is a waste of a play. A 2-yard run is not helping you against Alabama.
I just don't know
how. They don't respect it. So what difference does it make? Right?
Yeah, I don't know how anybody beats them.
Well, again, Colorado State scored 23. So you slow them down and then you score 23. That's what you do.
And they turned it off. Colorado State, some of that 23 was in the second half when Alabama was like, so where are we going tonight? They're still kids at the end of the day.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, the game's over. You're ahead 41-7.
I mean, look at Clemson last year. The dude threw for 5-11 and then ran for 92.
Yeah, that dude's now the starting quarterback for the Texans.
Yeah, that's my point. Excellent quarterback play.
Who won the Texas-Iowa State game last night?
Texas by 10-ish.
Okay.
Quarterback for Iowa State just couldn't move the ball at all.
It was on, and I kept changing the channel. I told myself I wasn't going to watch Cubs Cardinals, and I flipped to it and watched Cubs Cardinals.
You were always going to watch Cubs Cardinals.
Yeah.
I mean,
pretty much.
You lied to yourself for 20 minutes, but there was no doubt in what you were actually going to do. So just a thought there. All right, it's Friday. I've picked a few out that I think Neil will do. We're going to look at movies. We're going to look at Rotten Tomatoes today.
All right. Let's do it.
We've had a week of FBI activity, basketball. So we're looking to either basketball movies or jail movies this week on the show. Again, stealing it directly from Adam Carolla. I'm admitting that up front. But whatever. It's passing time.
What has Carolla said about the FBI thing?
I don't know. I haven't heard. They don't do a ton of sports. He has Dave Damashek on a good bit.
And yeah.
He will go sports heavy. But Carolla himself, if it's not NFL, doesn't really.
Yeah.
Like he has RJ Bell on once a week to do RJ's parlay and give everybody a bet for the week.
Yeah.
And then he talks to Damashek a pretty good bit and they'll talk some sports. But for the most part, he's not an all around. Because, I mean, he lives in L.A., college football's. You know, I mean, there's obviously USA, UCLA basketball, but otherwise,
LA's a pro sports town.
Yeah, yeah. So it's NFL or really nothing with him.
Before you do this, did you see where the NBA preemptively handled the anthem thing?
I did. It's a league rule.
Just laid it out. Here's what you will do and when you will do it and how you will do it. I always love how people blast the NBA from a, here's our brand, here's our product. this is how we present our brand. Mm-hmm. No one, and I do mean no one, does it better. No one.
What happens, though, when players just disregard it and do something else?
I don't know.
That's the problem.
I wouldn't want to be that player, because I think he has put it in place where he can go, look, here are the rules. You knew it. I'm suspending you. I don't think a player will do it.
Maybe not. A lot of free will there, though. You know what I mean? One player, and then suddenly it's the NBA versus Kevin Durant. It's the NBA versus LeBron James. It's like, yeah, like the dude on the end of the bench can't do it. Superstar right. does it, though.
Sure.
Ooh.
I just
maybe not.
Thought it was fascinating the way they put that out yesterday, put it out publicly, and said, here's what we're going to do.
I still think college basketball is the most ripe for the issue.
I agree.
I meant to get this last week. Austin Miller sent me a thing where Arkansas's women did it at one point last year. Did it like one game and an exhibition. The men didn't follow suit, just the Arkansas women. Some people think that that had a contributing factor to Jimmy Dykes potentially being out of a job eventually. But anyway, it just kind of passed. It was a big story locally, but it never picked up any steam past that. He defended his players as having the right, and they moved on with their day. But it was really early in last season with the University of Arkansas. So, all right, here we go. First one up. This is a Ron Shelton movie. He is the director of Bull Durham. But he also wrote and directed this that was built on stereotypes as a white con artist and a basketball player team up. We've got White Men Can't Jump.
Oh, yes.
White Men Can't Jump.
Seen that a couple of times.
Have you? I tried to pick movies you'd seen. We got Wesley Snipes. We got Woody Harrelson. Rosie Perez is in this movie.
Yeah, she is.
Not a bad flick. It's okay.
No, it's okay.
It's very watchable. Now, it's not one I keep on when I catch it on cable. I just really don't.
Yeah, no. I mean, I can flip from it. But it's okay.
So what do you think? Critics, what do you think?
I'm going to guess the critics did not like it. I'm going to go 48.
Okay. I wrote down stuff before I looked at them. You can believe me or not, and it doesn't
really
matter. I said 54 on this one. A little surprise. Certified fresh, it's 76% for White Men Can't Jump.
I'm a lot surprised.
White Men Can't Jump provides a fresh take on the sports comedy genre with a clever script and a charismatic trio of leads, says critics. Surprising for the type of movie, especially, audience at 68. Critics at 76, audience at 68.
Yeah, I thought the audience would be in the roughly 2/3 range. It's okay. It's good. I mean, you didn't walk out of White Men Can't Jump going, I hated that.
I mean, Siskel called it fresh and exuberant.
Yeah, I don't know about exuberant. It's good. The acting was good. There were some funny lines. Did you get your 2 hours worth? Yeah. Did you turn around and say, I'm going to see this again tomorrow? No.
All right, I got to find the other one for this one, so I got to skip. I picked a remake of that movie, and that's not what I want. I need the original. Hold on. Here we go. All right, here we go. This probably right in kind of your wheelhouse when you might have even seen this in a theater.
Okay.
We've got this 1985 movie that combines a couple different genres into one, mostly just unwatchable for me at this point, even though a lot of people love it. It has become a cult classic. We have got Michael J. Fox turning into a werewolf. We have got Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I saw that in the theater.
Did you really?
Yeah.
In Ruston?
Probably. 85? Yeah, probably Ruston. Maybe Pecanland Mall in Monroe, but probably Ruston.
It sat on the shelf for a really long time, it says, before it was released on the heels of the hugely successful Back to the Future in an attempt to cash in on the popularity of Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. And Back to the Future was really good.
Of course, yeah.
Teen Wolf. I'm going to guess critics hated it. Like, destroyed it. Like, I'm going to even say 20.
I said 38. Okay. 47.
Wow.
Again, the surprising thing is the audience still not loving it. 52 for the audience for Teen Wolf.
Yeah, I was going to guess the audience score would be around 50.
See, I thought because of the cult classic nature and everybody kind of – you also don't know when these votes were tabulated. it's a movie where, for the audience, I bet, the ratings have gotten better over time.
Yeah.
You watch it now, and it's more sentimental, and
you
it's
laugh,
cute, and
yeah.
You know what you're getting with it at this point. So
it was really hard. It was so, and I know it's the movies, and you're supposed to take a leap, but it was such a leap that you thought, this is stupid.
Which is most teen flicks in the 80s kind of like this. It followed that same little thing. Somebody called it corny but endearing.
Yeah, it was a little endearing.
Forgettable formulaic comedy. That's fair, too.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Forgettable formulaic fair.
That's fair. All right, closing out our basketball portion of this here game before we move on to the jail portion of this here game.
The jail portion. Okay.
We've got... one that's more of, I would have seen kind of at the same point in my life, I think. What year was this? Let me find it. 1996 was the theater for this.
Decent chance I missed this. This is back when I was broke, couldn't go to a movie.
Well, you didn't miss it because you at least have known and understand the references. We've got Michael Jordan and a host of Looney Tunes characters. We've got Space Jam.
Never seen Space Jam.
How have you not just caught that on TV?
I've never seen it.
Seriously. You really haven't seen Space Jam?
I'm telling the truth. I've never seen Space Jam.
You should have seen Space Jam.
I probably should have.
R. Kelly doing the soundtrack for Space Jam?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, Michael Jordan could not have been more popular back then. Throw in Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig and the gang. I'm going to guess it did well. I'm going to guess it did really well.
Okay.
I've never seen it. Perhaps it was so bad that it couldn't do well.
Okay.
But I'm going to guess 86.
I guess 54.
Okay.
38.
Oof.
For Space Jam.
Missed that one, didn't I? Boy, I need my coffee this morning.
A harmless mishmash of basketball animation that'll entertain kids but leave adults less than thrilled. But again, the movie was for kids.
You take... Oh, my... God, the people that do this on the kid movie, stop! You take your kid to see Cars, right? You're not expecting to be entertained. Slip a little thing of whiskey in your Coke. Have some popcorn and just don't worry about it. Little Johnny's happy. It's 2 hours of your day.
Siskel gave it a 3.5 out of 4, just going simply, Space Jam is at times a hoot, especially when it has fun with Michael's less than stellar baseball career. He understands it is a kid's movie. Let it be a kid's movie.
Yes.
All right, so you haven't seen Space Jam, but I'm going to assume that you've seen this 2012 masterpiece called Thunderstruck.
I have seen Thunderstruck. It's bad.
Kevin Durant missing jumpers.
Yeah.
Having a little vice versa moment here.
Yeah, it was bad.
How bad? Before I move on.
Scary bad.
Critics?
Ooh, 15.
A little better, 20.
20, yeah.
There were 10 critics and 2 said it was good.
Yeah. Well, those 2 really loved them from Kevin Durant.
I think that's the deal.
It had to be.
All right, moving on to the jail thing.
Happy
here.
Birthday to Kevin Durant today, by the way. Today it is. Happy birthday.
Your first basketball loves when you really got into it.
Yeah, boy, no doubt.
All right. It is 1935. It is inmates at the Cold Mountain Correctional Facility. We've got who's in this with him? It's got Tom Hanks, we've got Bonnie Hunt, we got Michael Clark Duncan. Actually, I think he's passed away now. We've got the Green Mile. No idea here, really.
I'm gonna admit something. It's on my list of movies I know I need to see that I haven't seen.
It is 18 years old. It is from 1999.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
It's on TBS about 8 times a week.
If you can see Chase's look of absolute exasperation.
It's the new generation Shawshank or something. Like when you start flipping through those channels on the satellite that they show nothing but movies and like How I Met Your Mother reruns, it's on nonstop.
I know it's been on and I've seen like little parts of it. I've never seen the whole movie. I'm sorry.
I thought with Hanks, a pretty good story, I thought it'd be pretty high. I said 85.
Okay.
It's 80. Okay, well, then you 80%.
You get credit. You get a ding ding correct for that. That's close enough.
The audience said 94.
Really?
Though the Green Mile is long, critics say it's an absorbing, emotionally powerful experience.
Okay.
Yeah. You should watch it.
Tom Hanks is kind of good.
He's typically very good in most things he's in.
He's made how many movies, I wonder?
I can find it, but I don't have it in front of me.
But, I mean, he...
He Oscar hunts, but all power to him.
So what? I don't hold that against him. He turns in one good performance after another. He is... He's like...
His bad movie that I have to watch when I find it on is Joe versus the Volcano.
Yeah.
So I don't turn off Joe versus the Volcano for some reason.
I was trying to think, like, what's a bad Tom Hanks movie? I mean, he's Aaron Rodgers of movies. Just one good game after another.
Yeah, he's a movie star. Maybe the movie star.
Of our generation, yeah, probably so.
I mean, because not in like the sex symbol movie star thing, but just like, I'm going to carry this movie and is going to make whatever at the box office. Here we go.
Well, and in so many ways, the fact that he's not a phenomenal looking man. I mean, women don't go, oh God, over Tom Hanks. Almost makes his achievements even more remarkable.
As an actor, he has 83 credits.
Wow.
Don't know what all is involved. But, I mean, that generation and coming into a little bit of the next one is kind of the last movie star as we know it generation. Social media, different things now just create famous people.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily create movie stars. You look at, you know, Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise, Leonardo DiCaprio. Those are the last movie stars.
But like Cruise, a lot of his, and he's a great actor, don't get me wrong, but a lot of his early on was women, oh God, he's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Women never said that about Tom Hanks.
With Cruise, it's popcorn flicks.
Yeah.
Days of Thunder, Top Gun, Risky Business.
Hey, I'm going to walk around and look cool, and I'm going to wear some sunglasses.
When he's tried to do the emotional thing, it's only worked a couple times. He's had complete and utter flops when he's tried to go the other way.
Right.
I mean, Jerry Maguire was good. There's been some, but...
It was good.
You know, not a ton, though.
He's not Hanks.
The second one is the ultimate new on-TV syndication. You can't miss this movie if you even watch any television whatsoever. It's, what year was this? This is Nicolas Cage. You know the movie yet?
Already. You know I'm so nervous right now because I'm...
1997 is when this came out. We've got a plane. We've got criminals. We've got Con Air. You haven't seen Con Air?
I haven't seen it.
We're going to have to start doing this either with Ryan on Fridays, or we're going to have to do it on Thursdays with Jeffrey.
With Jeffrey.
One or the
I'm
other.
I'm such a loser.
You're so bad
at this. God. 1997. Let's put that in perspective in my life.
But you can't just put that in perspective. It's 97 till now. You've had 20 years to catch it on TBS. 20 years. Where you're sitting around on a Sunday, you don't watch golf, so there's nothing else on if it's not football season. And you're just clicking, and you go, oh, well, there's Nicolas Cage in a plane burning to the ground. Let's see what happens.
I've never seen it.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
The critics said 56% for anyone out there that was really confused or what.
People out there going, man, McCready is lifeless.
He sees nothing.
He's seen nothing. I don't go to many movies. And you know what's weird about it is I love going to the movies. And I just don't go much. You go a lot.
I used to. Really, I haven't.
For a while?
Yeah, I haven't gone to a movie.
Well, there's a baby in your house.
I haven't seen a movie in the theater since La La Land.
Oh, yeah.
So one Oscar season ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's the last movie I saw in the theater.
What's the show in your house that's on loops?
Kids?
Well,
shows?
Yeah, because, I mean, she's... when she's awake, she's running the house. That's how that works.
The number one movie is still Secret Life of Pets.
Okay.
She loves dogs. If there's a dog anywhere walking around the block, our dogs, it's yelling for the dog. It's needing to pet the dog, stop the dog, obsessed with dogs.
Okay.
Secret Life of Pets is the one that I can turn on and she sits down and done. Two hours, hour 40, whatever it is, finished. Seeing a little bit, the movie with the where they all the animals or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's a Netflix show now that it's okay. It's not as bad as the really bad stuff you have to watch, but it's not good either. It's called Spirit. It's like a girl that moves to the country and has a horse.
Okay.
And it's just a girl and her horse, and for some reason, just catatonic when that is on currently. But Netflix has changed the game.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Because I can find anything pretty much and
no
keep
doubt.
It going. We have progressed past Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, so that's good.
Yeah.
I'm really glad we've hit a maturity level to at least, I don't know what's going on in her mind, but it seems to pick up some semblance of storyline with things to mm-hmm. some extent, so that's good. We've moved past Clubhouse. It's Spirit. It's Secret Life of Pets. It's Goldie and Bear, which is very watchable. You probably haven't run into Goldie and Bear.
No, I mean, we're past it, obviously.
Yeah. Goldie and Bear is pretty good. It's a takeoff Goldilocks where her and the bear are best friends as kids. And they live in kind of this enchanted forest where all the other storytime characters are there as well.
Oh.
Like, the Big Bad Wolf plays his part for the Little Pigs and Red Riding Hood. We've got them all there, too. We've got
Hansel and Gretel are there.
Yeah, you got that. You've got Mother Goose. You know, the Muffin Man lives down on Drury Lane.
Oh.
The whole deal. So pretty watchable show there with Disney.
Man did pretty well when you think about it.
I think Everybody likes Muffin Man.
I mean, if you become the Muffin Man,
not a Muffin Man,
you're the Muffin Man, and everybody knows exactly where you live. You don't have to advertise anymore. You want muffins? You go to the Muffin Man. He lives on Drury Lane.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute. That dude's raking. He gets up every morning. You follow the same recipe. I mean, what are you doing? You're not shaking up muffins much.
He's making some blueberries, some chocolate, some banana
chocolate chips. Yeah, I mean, oatmeal, bran. All done. Cran apple.
He's in bed by 2 p.m. or out playing golf. He's done.
He gets up at 4. Got the machine going. Kicking him out.
His KitchenAid mixer.
He's probably got a pretty good staff. Probably can hire prep people now to go cut the cold butter and stuff every morning. Because you're the Muffin Man. Everybody wants muffins. Let's go see the Muffin Man down on Drury Lane.
Yeah.
That'd be tough to compete with that.
He can't move because it's so much in his marketing that he lives on Drury Lane.
You're set. But like if you're like opening up Joe's Muffin Shop, where do you want to go? You want to go to Joe's or you want to go to the Muffin Man? We're going to go to the Muffin Man.
If you're Joe, do you move in next to the Muffin Man on Drury Lane and just have cheaper prices?
You could.
Do you try to undercut the Muffin Man?
You could, but now you're Pepsi versus Coke. I mean, you're going to steal a little, but people love a classic.
He's probably a vindictive son of a gun. He'd probably chop your legs out from under you at some point.
He probably would.
He knows the butter distributor. He's going to you're going to get cut off.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the right butter.
Probably don't want to piss with the Muffin Man.
Your flour's going to be late the next day.
Yeah. No telling what's in it.
Nah. Tom Hanks, by the way, has got a couple different things going on right now. He's currently filming Toy Story 4.
Toy
Story 4, yeah.
That was so good. I cried at Toy Story 3.
You okay with a fourth one? Can we go again?
They haven't
batted anything less than a 900 yet. So,
dude, they have stepped to the plate and hit home runs. And Toy Story 3, which... When you said three, you're going to do three, and you're going to let him grow up? Spoiler alert. You're going to let him grow up. The odds are you're going to go over the top, right? No.
He might be Oscar hunting here. He's got, let's see. Actually, is he not the main person in this? Hold on a second. This is worth it. I guess he's one of the next person. Allison Brie, David Cross, Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks is in this one. It is being directed by Steven Spielberg. Ooh. It is called The Post. It is the cover-up that spanned four U.S. presidents, pushed the country's first female newspaper publisher and a hard-driving editor to join an unprecedented battle between journalist and government, inspired by true events. The Post.
Wow.
2017.
I'm in.
You all good?
Yeah, that's two in a row I'm going to see.
I don't know what it's about. I haven't seen that. I don't know exactly what we're talking about, but yeah.
Who's your favorite Toy Story character?
Potato Head.
Yeah, I like Potato Head too.
Yeah. He cracks me up the most. It's Potato Head. Everybody says Buzz.
I like Buzz. Buzz can get annoying, which is part of Buzz's deal.
The tagline, at least, for Toy Story 4 is Woody and Buzz go on an adventure to find the one toy who was given away, Bo Peep. So we're rescuing Bo Peep in a Toy Story 4.
It's awesome.
You're good?
I'm all in.
You're going to watch?
Hell yes. Dude, Toy Story 3, it was dusty.
It was at the end of Toy Story 3. Ooh.
If you didn't get emotional at the end of Toy Story 3, you're one tough, hardened. Come on.
Oh God.
And that's never been my thing where I can't be sentimental about it. It's like, stop.
It's gonna be a while. We're June 21 of 2019 for Toy Story 4.
Oh wow.
So yeah, we still got
something to live for.
Whatever.
Kidding.
I feel like we had one more thing, and now I'm not really sure what it was. I'm looking up real quick the post to figure out what we're talking about. And I'm frankly having a really
yeah. I'm trying to figure out what that is, because the initial thing would have been the Catholic Church and the Boston Globe, but that's a different spotlight. Spotlight's a great movie.
I think it's the Pentagon Papers case.
Okay.
From, I guess, the 70s. It says there's a criticism already. Various New York Times figures who were associated with the Pentagon Papers, including James Greenfield, Goodell, Alan Siegel, and Max Frankel, have objected to the post because it does not emphasize the Times' role in breaking the story. So that's a little bit of a clue here as we're looking through it.
Hard to tell a journalism story in 2 hours.
The people that have done it better than anyone is Spotlight.
Oh, it was phenomenal.
That's the best case of it.
It was so good. That was a story that spanned years, and they put it into 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yep. The people in this movie have basically hung out at the Washington Post and done a lot of stuff trying to get as much as they can, but that's where we are anyway. All right. We will have coverage of Ole Miss Alabama Saturday night from, let's see, games at 8:15. Is that right? 8:15?
They're saying 8, but let's keep it
real.
They can
push it back to 8:15, so it's 8:15. So Ole Miss Alabama from Tuscaloosa, 8:15 on Saturday night. Content, rebelgrove.com. Soft verbal with Russell, presented by Billy's Pecans. The Beer Garden yesterday. A lot of stuff up.
Beer Garden coming up later today. John Hamm, if you like NBA. Beer Garden today. Tonight, women's soccer, Ole Miss and South Carolina, two top 16 teams in an SEC matchup, has national implications tied to it. Kickoff at 7. Admission is free. Volleyball looks to get another SEC win on Sunday at home when they host Georgia at 1:30. Come check out the new Gillum Center. Admission is free. This podcast has been brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. Their attention to detail, their customer service, their work is second to none. They're an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, Comer Heating and Air. Check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane 662-832-8749. Podcast has been brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. It's the absolute best cash checking account anywhere. It's called Kasasa. ATM fees nationwide are refunded. Online bill pay, mobile check deposit using the online app. So much at OUB. Live Oxford, bankoxford.com, 662-234-6668. And the podcast has been brought to you by Michael Oswalt. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across Mississippi. Go to his site, gotland.com. If you're a buyer, Michael has the biggest land inventory in Mississippi. If you're thinking about selling, if you're on the fence, if it's in your future, he'll come to your home, tell you what he does, market your property, and get it sold for you. The market's hot. If you're on the fence, if you're ready to sell, call Michael. He's ready to work for you. He'll put his money where his mouth is, whether it's drones, videos, whatever marketing needs to be done, he'll get it done to get your property sold. Hunting season's around the corner. Bow season starts Sunday. It's a great time to look for or sell your recreational property. 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Talk to you on Monday.